بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، after discussing the proceedings of the Day of Judgment and then those who will end up in the hellfire, the torments of the hellfire, may Allah protect us from it. Now we move on to a discussion of paradise and the pleasures and the various different means of bliss that will be granted to the believers who are sent to paradise. The one hadith which really puts it into a nutshell is that it's something which no eye has seen and no ear has heard the like of. In fact, it's not even occurred to the heart of anyone. So paradise is beyond anything beautiful that you may have ever thought about or could possibly think about. However, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that human beings, they like description and they relate to certain things. They can understand when certain depictions are made, certain examples are given. So that's why you see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran speaks about paradise, different aspects of paradise. But to really understand the actual quality and the actual meaning of what's described, then we have to leave that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this will only give us a peek at some of these descriptions. So let's look at some of the Quranic verses and some of the hadith about Jannah, so that inshallah the benefit of this is that it will increase our longing for paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ كُلَّمَا رُزِقُوا مِنْهَا مِنْ ثَمَرَةٍ رِزْقًا قَالُوا هَذَا الَّذِي رُزِقْنَا مِنْ قَبْلُ وَأُتُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابِهًا وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَةٌ وَهُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. And give glad tidings, glad news to those who believe and do good works, that theirs shall be gardens, jannatin, gardens underneath which rivers flow. That in itself is so difficult for us to visualize. Gardens under which rivers will flow. For us, underneath means tunnels, underground. But wallahu alam, this seems like it's something else, where it seems like it's underground, but it's there, you can see it, and Allah knows best. Because as we'll see about other things, where it says that people will be given these homes where they can see the outside from it. Some really ajeeb combinations of visual pleasure. So this could be one of those as well. Gardens underneath which rivers flow. Each time they are given food of the fruits of paradise, they say, this is what we were given before. And it is given to them in resemblance. Although they may say that this is something we've had before, but when they actually taste it, it'll be different. The flavor, the taste, the pleasure will be different. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can continue to keep us alive forever, then it is not too far-fetched for us to understand that He can give an absolutely new taste every single time we taste it. From a worldly perspective, we think that we could run out of taste, but even then, no. People who work in these laboratories, where they make flavorings and perfumes, there are so many, literally thousands of possible, probably an infinite number of combinations that you could have. More of this, less of this, more of that. But the thing here is that each one will give you pleasure. When these companies, they make new cereals, they take a cereal company, they make a new cereal, it has to be tested, it's tested with a target audience. So many fail, very few come to the market. When you're talking about paradise, every single one is successful. You will appreciate every single one. That's mastery. Because it's done by the grand master of all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There for them are purified wives. There forever shall they abide. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا. And there's a whole verse which speaks about that. And those who had taqwa are driven to the gardens in groups. Now they're taken to the garden in groups. Until when they reach it, and its gates are opened, and the guardians say to them, peace be upon you. Salamun alaykum. Peace be upon you. You were good. So now enter it forevermore. Forever. They say praises for Allah. Alhamdulillah. Who has glorified His promise to us and made us inherit the earth. Sojourning in the gardens, there we will. Fine is the worker's wage. That this is given obviously as a wage, as a recompense for whatever a person has done in this world. And you see the angels thronging around the throne, extolling the praises of their Lord, and they are judged aright. And it is said, praises for Allah, Lord of the worlds. Allah says, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانَ. Surah Al-Rahman, again here, whole description. And for those who fear the standing before their Lord, they've got a fear for standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. There shall be two gardens. They will get two gardens, then another group will get another two gardens. But these people will get two gardens. And you can read about this in Surah Al-Rahman. But then it says, blessed is the name of your Lord, تبارك اسم ربك ذي الجلال والإكرام, possessor of majesty and bounty. And then, والسابقون السابقون أولئك المقربون في جنات النعيم, another place, which is in Surah Al-Waqi'ah. And the foremost, meaning those who go ahead of others, who try to do more, who achieve more, they are those who are brought close in gardens of delight. ثُلَّةٌ مِّنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَثُلَّةٌ مِّنَ الْآخَرِينَ. Which means a multitude of those of old and a multitude of those of later times. إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ يَشْرَبُونَ مِنْ كَأْسٍ كَانَ مِزَاجُهَا كَافُورًا. That is, the righteous people shall drink of a cup, the mixture of which is of camphor. Until Allah says, your endeavor has found acceptance. Now this is going to be a very special drink. Those who had taqwa will be in a secure place, in gardens and water springs, as a favor from your Lord. That is the supreme triumph. Another verse. See, some places in the Quran, it talks about it in detail, and in some places it just mentions one ayah. But it's just a constant reminder to encourage. Both for the non-Muslims to say, look, this is what you're going to get if you turn around. And both for the believers to say that this is what you're promised. So do more, do better, get a higher place. The likeness of the garden that people of taqwa are promised, therein are rivers of water unpolluted, the rivers of milk, the flavor of which changes not, so it never becomes polluted, never becomes bad and sour. The rivers of wine, delicious to the drinkers, and rivers of clear honey. Thing about wine is that for those who haven't tasted it, alhamdulillah, we may think that what is so big deal about it. But for those who've tasted it, apparently there's some ajib attraction to it. And you don't need to taste it in this world, otherwise you'll be deprived of it in the hereafter. But people are crazy over it. We have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He's prohibited it to us. And thus we can abstain from so many health problems. So many costs. That would just be another cost, wouldn't it? And then all of the problems being stopped and breathalyzed and maybe killing someone and maybe running somebody over and saying something stupid to someone or being found in a gutter in the morning. Alhamdulillah. Except the Johnny Fives. That's Sheikh Ahmed Ali's term. I don't know if there's a guy called Johnny Five, but he talks about a Johnny Five. Johnny Five, the guy goes up Friday night to the club. That's Johnny Five. Anybody heard of Johnny Five? I don't know if you know somebody called Johnny Five, but that's his characterization of the club goer, Johnny Five. Then he talks about Johnny Five on the Day of Judgment. and the angels are really sorting him out, Mr. Johnny Five. And that when the AOD comes to him, that's another of Mullah Ahmad Ali's. May Allah bless him. The AOD. Anybody fearful of the AOD? The angel of death. Mullah Ahmad Ali, mashallah. Allah reward him. He's inspired so many people. So these rivers of wine, delicious to the drinkers, the rivers of clear honey, there is for them every kind of fruit and forgiveness from their Lord. Another verse, Gardens of Eden, Jannati Adn, Gardens of Eden, which they enter wearing armlets of gold and pearl, and their raiments therein is silk, their clothing is silk. And they say, Praises for Allah who has put grief away from us. Our Lord is forgiving, generous, who of His grace has installed us in the mansion of eternity, where toil touches us not, nor can we be affected by weariness. You'll never get tired there. Eat as much as you want, you'll do as much as you want, you will not get tired there. These things seem impossible in this world, because the food has an effect. The food there is pure. It doesn't spoil. It doesn't spoil in the stomach. There's another way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create another way there, as He's told us, of digestion as such. Another verse, the garden is brought close for those who have taqwa, and it will not be distant. This is what you are promised for every penitent, heedful one who feared the All-Merciful in secret and came with a sound heart, enter it in peace. This is the day of immortality. You will not die after this. Yawmul Khuld. There they will have all that they desire. We have even more than that. The people of taqwa will dwell among gardens and rivers firmly established in the favor of a mighty king. Those are the verses. A number of hadith now. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I have prepared for my virtuous servants that which no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no human heart imagined. And if you want, recite. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, No soul knows what is kept hidden for them of delightful joy as a reward for what they used to do. Some more descriptions, the hadith, they give a lot more graphic descriptions. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Two gardens of silver with silver vessels, and two gardens of gold with golden vessels. So you know, we have these themes and these decorative themes. This is the blue room. You know, this is the green room. It's you know, it's all decorated in green. You know, you go to a kitchen shop. Okay, this is all chrome. This is all with silver edging. So it's like that. Two gardens of gold, two gardens of silver. And nothing stands between people and the vision of their Lord but the veil of glory over His face in the Garden of Eden. He also said that the garden comprises of 100 degrees. The distance between each 2 degrees, this is 100 degrees, means 100 levels, stages. The difference between each 2 degrees is like the distance between the heaven and the earth. To get an idea, just look outside. Where do you see the first heaven? That's the first degree is up there somewhere. Then the second one is that much. So you can imagine how much space there is. Firdaus is the highest degree, from which spring the four rivers of Jannah. Above it is the highest throne. When you ask Allah, therefore ask for Firdaus. Don't ask Him for anything else. Ask Him for Jannatul Firdaus. Meaning, don't ask Him for a lower paradise. Ask Him for Jannatul Firdaus. And then to give you an understanding of the value of everything in paradise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the area of the garden which could be surrounded by a whip is... So the area of Jannah that could be surrounded by a whip. You know how much space a whip takes? That's probably like a meter. Let's just assume 1 meter by 2 inches by 2 inches. Hardly anything. That much space of Jannah is better than the world and all that it contains. Should one of the women of the garden appear to the people of the earth, she would illuminate it entirely and render it fragrant with musk. So not only beautiful, shining, illuminating, but also fragrant. And if you think certain fragrances of these world are great and they're expensive, you know, some of the finest ouds are about £1,000 or more. Some of the finest musks and some of the other, especially ambergris, they're very expensive. But this is supposed to be beyond this world. I remember in the British Museum, they had two or three perfumes that they tried to recreate from some of the things they'd found in the pharaoh's tombs, because they left everything, all sorts of things. So they, researching from that, they found out the different mixtures that they would make for their perfumes. So they recreated pharaonic perfumes that you could buy. But this is Jannah. The scarf which is upon her head, meaning of this maiden of paradise, the scarf which is upon her head is better than the world and all that it contains. That's very interesting that she will have a scarf. The maidens of Jannah will have scarves on their head. That proves something. If they're supposed to be so beautiful, and they've got a scarf, the scarf is supposed to beautify. There must be a reason why they have scarves there. I mean, women should start thinking about this. If they don't wear scarves, paradise is about scarves. Not just about scarves, but it's about scarves. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "In the Jannah there is a tree under the shade of which a rider may travel for 100 years and still not traverse it." This is a Jannah with rivers and trees, an absolute beauty. This is a big tree. The length of one of your boughs in the garden is better than everything on which the sun has ever risen or set. These are just examples the Prophet ﷺ is giving. He doesn't have to say the bow, he doesn't have to say anything, just the fact that every single aspect of paradise is like that. He said, "The believer shall have a tent in the garden made of a single hallowed pearl." A tent made out of pearl. I don't know if Qaddafi was, why he lived in a tent. I don't know if this was his way of, you know, Jannah fid dunya or something. But this is the real Jannah. Nobody can take it away from you. It's yours. A single hallowed pearl. The length of which shall be 60 miles. It almost seems fictional. If you didn't have belief, what is all this fictional stuff that gets you going? But if you don't believe in it, what are you going to believe in? This is our belief. And logically, it's absolutely fine that this world is too limited for us to have these things in. Allah wants to reward the people who do good in such a way that it's beyond the ability of this world and the capability of this world to, that He can give that level of reward that He would like to give. That is, according to His status. That can only be another abode. So yes, this does seem fictional, because it's something that we have never experienced and we've never seen. Or nobody's ever seen and come back to tell us. "In each of its corners, the believer shall have spouses invisible to the others. And the believer shall visit each of them in turn." Doesn't talk much about home, houses, right? It's just this large garden, huge, you know, really big. And these different things within it. And this one is saying, in each of its corners, the believer shall have spouses invisible to the others. And the believers shall visit each of them in turn. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu once asked, "O Messenger of Allah, from what was creation created?" And he said, "From water." He asked again, "Of what is the garden built?" And he replied, "One brick of gold, one brick of silver, its mortar is fragrant musk." You know, when a rich person who's got a lot of money splashes out, then they're going to get the best quality in everything. So if there's 5 different basins that you can buy for a bathroom, he's going to get the best one. He's got the money, he's not looking at, this is this price, this is just that one. That's what I want. Because he just wants to splash out. I mean, if you've seen anybody like that in this world, where you go in, it's just, you know that they've just spent a lot of money doing that. Paint, yes. we'll just get the most expensive one. There's no question about it. Right? Plate set, just get the most expensive one. You know, just it has to be good because it's expensive. Just get it. Now, one brick of gold, one brick of silver, and mortar of musk. And this is what we can understand. This is just to give us an understanding. One brick of gold, one of silver, its mortar is fragrant musk, its pebbles are pearls and rubies, its dust is saffron. Those who enter it shall find joy without sorrow, permanence with neither extinction nor death. Their clothes shall never wear out, neither shall their youth pass away. Another hadith, the first group to enter the garden will have faces like the full moon, because these are going to be the brightest in terms of nur. These are going to have the brightest because they've done the most. Faces like the full moon. The second group shall be like the most beautiful planet, twinkling planet in the sky. Each man shall have two wives, each clothed in 70 robes. Now, each clothed in 70 robes. From our dunyawi perspective, 70 clothing? 70 robes? It doesn't make sense to us. But that's what our belief is about. This must be something great there. Or maybe it's because, subhanAllah, I don't even know. But it's not our level. The person who's really indulged in this world would probably understand this better. Because they understand that kind of opulence. But if we haven't dealt with this, what's this? This is just beyond the world. It's beyond. So yes, each man shall have two wives, each clothed in 70 robes, and the marrow of their legs will be visible through them. That's why I mentioned, it's very ajib there. 70 robes, but the marrow of their legs will be visible. We're talking about some visual, some kind of special visual effects. Wallahu alam. Allah knows best. And the people of the garden shall enter it beardless. So when people enter paradise, they will be beardless, hairless, their eyelids linked with coal naturally. You never have to apply it. Age 30 or 33 years. That's like the perfect age to enjoy. But those people who, when they were 30, 33, that's the end of youth, who spent their youth in good. And he said one day to his companions, the Prophet ﷺ said, are any of you willing to work in earnest for the garden? For the Jannah has no rival to it. It is, by the Lord of the Kaaba, a light, swaying, fragrant plant, a lofty palace, a flowering river. This is a description of everything in paradise. So it is a scintillating light, swaying, fragrant plant, a lofty palace, a flowing river, a multitude of ripe fruits, a comely wife, and many garments, in a perpetual abode of life and vigor, in a lofty house of soundness and splendor. They said, we are the ones who shall work for it in earnest, O Messenger of Allah. And he said, say, if Allah the Exalted so will, say, inshaAllah. See, these things the Sahaba, they took for serious. These things were as though they were, see, because we're so indulgent in the world, these things seem to be a bit fairy tale like. Because we're more in touch with what we see around us because we're so interested in it. But if a person is more interested in Allah, then these things will become even stronger. That's what I think. Because when you see the one story about that particular Sahabi who was hungry, he had some dates, he hadn't eaten for a while, he was about to eat the dates, then he thought, subhanAllah, what's going to happen to me if I go in and I die? You'll go to Jannah. Well, forget these dates then, I'll just go to Jannah. Because he knows it's better. So why waste time eating dates when you can go there and you'll be in Jannah? Allahu Akbar. That's the level of iman we're speaking about. Then Prophet ﷺ also said, the palm trees of Jannah shall have trunks of green emeralds, palm roots of red gold, and its palms shall be clothed for the people of the garden. Its palms shall be clothed for the people of the garden, from which their garments are ropes and robes are made. Its fruits are the size of jugs and pails, whiter than milk, sweeter than honey, softer than butter, devoid of stones. So you don't have to worry about pips and stones. You just enjoy. Mango, mashallah, is considered a great fruit because you get lots of flesh in there, but you still have a seed in there. You still have a seed. Right? A watermelon, you still have to cut into it, and it still has these little seeds. Right? You got a nice juicy peach or an apricot, again, you've got a seed. So you've got something or the other that just about spoils it. But that's the dunya, isn't it? That's the dunya. Whereas there, it's just devoid of all of that. And then you won't get tired of it. So yes, if you go somewhere and they've sliced the mangoes, they've peeled the mangoes, they've sliced it off the stone, off the seed, and you just have to eat. But eventually you get tired of it. Until next time. But with this, it's different. But for some people, I think mango is the closest to Jannah that they can get, I think. Subhanallah. Some communities haven't discovered mangoes yet. But those who have, they really think it's something of Jannah. Some more description of paradise. The people of Jannah eat and drink. Neither spit. You don't feel the saliva coming out and you have to spit. No pollution. They neither urinate or pass excrement, nor blow their noses. You don't have to worry about any of that. They asked, what about the food? And he replied, meaning, what's going to happen to the food? If there's no urination, defecation, then how's the food going to be digested? They had a question. What about the food? And he replied, belching and perspiration like sprinkled musk. So it'll be a burp and it'll be perspiration. But that will also not be smelly, but will be like sprinkled musk. They are inspired to extol, hallow and praise Allah. In another version of this hadith it says, and glorify just as they have been inspired to breathe. So every breath there will be tasbih, naturally. Some of the women who are listening are probably wondering that this is all for men. And we haven't finished yet. But there is a description of paradise for women which I'd like to cover as well, but not today. Maybe next time, inshallah. Because that's very important. A lot of this is when saying a man will have two wives. A man will have maidens and so on and so forth. So women wonder what's going to happen with them. But just hold on. Anyway, let's carry on. And he said, may Allah, may the blessings and peace of Allah be upon him. Men among the people of the garden will each be given the strength of 100 in eating, drinking, sexual intercourse and desire. You can eat like 100 men. Your desire will be like 100 men. But for this, you're going to have to do a lot of work in this world. It's not easy. Just desiring it is not enough. We have to pray for it. The Prophet ﷺ was asked by a Sahabi, pray for me that I'll be close to you in paradise. He said, okay, fine, but you help me out by doing a lot of sajda. Help me out by making salat. If you make salat, you'll get closer, then it's easier for me to put you into paradise. Because otherwise you might get lost out. And then the angels will say, no, he changed after you left. I'll try to help you, but you changed. He changed. So help me on this request of yours by lots of sajda. That's why never miss your prayers. Minimum. Let us never miss our prayers. If we happen to miss them because we overslept or we couldn't make it in time, especially when the winter comes in England, it gets really difficult. Because you expect Asr, Dhuhr to last for a while, and suddenly it's Asr time. 2:40, 2:50 these days, Asr time. Subhanallah. And Dhuhr time used to remain until what, 6, 7 o'clock before? It's ajeeb. Kind of country we live in. But that's what it is. You have to be careful. So if you miss a prayer, you make it up. Minimum. And then when we can do more, then we do more. But that's the minimum. But if we want a higher place, we need to do more. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. So yes, men among the people of the garden will each be given the strength of 100 in eating, drinking, sexual intercourse and desire. And then he said, a herald shall announce. Meaning, there will be an announcement. O people of Jannah, it is time for you to be healthy and never fall ill. So you can eat as much as you want. You'll never have constipation. You'll never have anything that's related. Stomach upsets, eaten too much, eaten too many different things. Stomach can't, acidity, heartburns, just nothing. It is time for you to be healthy and never fall ill. It is time for you to live and never die. It is time for you to be young and never grow old. And it is time for you to be happy and never be miserable. And this is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where He says, and they are called, this is the garden, you have inherited it because of that which you used to do. And he was asked, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, what about Kawthar? What's the Kawthar? He replied, a river in the garden given to me by Allah, that is whiter than milk, sweeter than honey, on which are birds with necks like the necks of camels. Umar radiallahu anhu said, those are indeed in pleasure. He said, those who eat them are even greater pleasure. He said, I met Ibrahim alayhi salam on the night of the Isra, the Mi'raj. And he said to me, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, give my greetings to your ummah. This is Ibrahim alayhi salam giving us salams. And inform them that the garden has fragrant soil, sweet water, and is made of plains. Innahu qi'an. Made of plains, the planting of which is subhanallah. So this is the way Ibrahim alayhi salam is telling us, you've got lots of land there. You've got the land, do something with it. How do you inhabit this? How do you inhabit this land? And how do you do things to make this land viable for you? Its planting is subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. The four superior dhikrs that you can do. Subhanallah, walhamdulillahi, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. That is the plantation. As much as you do, that's what's going to be planted there. So you know when it's related, they say, read subhanallah, you'll get a plantation. That this is what it's referring to. Now look at this description. In the garden, there are rooms, the outside of which can be seen from within, and the inside from without. So when he mentioned this, basically saying that you can see outside from inside and you can see inside from outside, immediately you're probably thinking there's no privacy. Isn't that what you thought? Right? That's what you thought, right? There's no privacy. Now the thing is that subhanallah, the only reason we think about privacy is that we've got this little house that is stuck to the next person's house. Terraced house. So you leave your curtains open, somebody's going to pass by and see it. We're talking about a paradise for one person that's going to be 10 times minimum the size of this world. Who's going to come there to spy on you? Subhanallah. It's all going to be just whoever you want there. That's why when I went to different suburbs in America, in small towns, where there's lots of space, you know, you can buy a massive ranch for £100,000, $100,000. House with acres of land. Middle of nowhere, you know, no value to it. You know, middle of Kentucky somewhere. So, you know, you've got this house right in the middle, you know, no curtains, nothing. Because who's going to come there? Unless somebody is coming really for some purpose. When we live in London, you know, you're stuck next to somebody else, between two people. Ajib, two houses. It's, and then you're paying a lot more money as well. Anyway, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this is how it will be, that you'll be able to see the inside from the outside and outside from the inside, a Bedouin got up and said, "Liman ya Rasulullah." Just imagine this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is explaining, his Bedouin is sitting there, suddenly he says, "Who is this for, ya Rasulullah? Who's going to get this?" قَالَ لِمَنْ أَطَابَ الْكَلَامِ وَأَطْعَمَ الطَّعَامِ وَأَدَامَ الصِّيَامِ وَصَلَّى بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامِ. It is for the one who speaks with goodness. He doesn't speak in a rude and vulgar way. He's always nice when he speaks to people. So the one who speaks with goodness, feeds the people, generous in feeding others. He's always willing to spend on others to feed them. When they go to a restaurant together, he's not the one who's going to stay back and get somebody else to pay. He's going to try to take, because it's about feeding others. Even if others are wealthy, it's about feeding. It's a virtue. Those people who like to feed others, it's a virtue. It's a virtue. So feed. That's the second thing he said. Feed the people. Fast regularly. Mondays and Thursdays. Fast regularly. And pray by night while others sleep. So your tahajjud. So we want these special houses, we have to do something for it. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allah yaqulu li ahli al-jannah, ya ahli al-jannah, fayaquluna labbaik rabbana wa sa'daik." Allah will address the people of Jannah and say, "O people of the garden, at your service, O Lord," they will say. "At your pleasure, all goodness is in your hands." He will ask, "Are you content? Are you happy now with everything that you've been given?" And they reply, "How may we not be content? O Lord, when you have given us what no creature of yours has ever given." And then he will say, "Shall I then give you that which is even better still? What can be better than that?" And they ask him, "O Lord, what could be better still?" And he says, "I shall grant you my good pleasure. I shall grant you my pleasure that I will never be unhappy with you again." So you will always do things that will happy me. That just increases that we can do what we want and Allah will always be happy because we cannot do the wrong now. In the world we still, even if we're doing well, we still feel we might stumble. If the prophets are also feel that they may be seized on something or the other. But in Jannah, once you're there, Allah will say, "I will give you my Ridwan." Then he will say, "And shall never be wrathful against you again." A bit of encouragement. فُقَرَاءُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ قَبْلَ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ بِنِصْفِ يَوْمٍ وَهُوَ خَمْسُ مِئَةِ سَنَةٍ. It has been reported that the poor among the Muslims will enter the garden half a day before the rich. And you may be thinking, half a day? That's fine. How much is half a day? But the day there is, that means 500 years. It'll take that much longer for the richer person because we got more to answer for and more money to worry about. So the poor person in the world, he has to worry every day where he's going to be fed, how he's going to survive. We don't have to worry about that. We just have to worry about what's going to happen after 20 years. But in Jannah, in the hereafter, it's going to be asked, "What did you do with this penny that you got here?" If every penny is going to be asked about. SubhanAllah, we've got a lot of questioning. We've got a lot of answering to do. The number of clothing that we have. How many shirts or tops or jubbas do we have? How many trousers and pants do we have? How many pairs of shoes do we have? And the point here is that I remember I went to a friend's house and he used to always take me from the garage. Because there's an adjoining garage to the house. And we used to always go through the garage. He says, "Why can't you take me from the other door?" So one day he did. And the reason why he didn't want to take me from that side was there was a rack from the floor to the ceiling of shoes. His mother's shoes. There must have been at least 40, at least minimum, 40, 50 pairs there. Sandals and shoes and boots and I don't know. Almost as if every time you go, you find something, you buy it. كل ما اشتهيت اشتريت. Everything you like, you buy. So he used to feel really embarrassed about that. So he never used to take me from the other entrance. There was a fatwa, there was a question that came to one of the muftis about this. That I've got this many shoes, but I'd like to buy another one. Because I like that. This is the nature of the human being in the dunya. A new product comes out, slightly modified, or sleeker look, different color, bit different design. Maybe saying now you're going to step on air. You know, these different things. So you want to buy that now. The fatwa was very good. It said, there's nothing haram in buying something else. As long as you donate what you have. If you're just accumulating and not using, then that's israf. وَإِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ As Allah says in the Quran. The people who squander their wealth, waste their wealth, they're the brothers of shaitan. So yes, if you like to buy new things, donate, give away, give things away. Because they're not going to be worn as well. Now the thing is that the love that the human being has, subhanAllah, is that we will have 10 shirts or 10 pieces of garment, you know, 10 of one particular type of garment. We'll want all of them because we like all of them. We like each one of them. We find it difficult that, okay, I should just keep 2 or 3. But we want to keep all of them. That we'll wear that one day as well. I don't wear it often. Only after 2-3 years when you realize you haven't worn it, then you think, okay, khalas, we'll give that away now. One of our colleagues is a good scholar. He told me from experience, he says that, I know that when I give away books, for scholars to give away books is very difficult. Because one is you acquire a book. That's your tool. That's so important for you. But one thing I've seen with him is that he gets a book. It's the only copy he's got. He'll give it away. He said, I've always noticed that I get a copy. I give it away. I'll get another one from somewhere. We're not talking about rare books. We're talking about just, you know, general books that you pay for them. They cost money. But he said, I give to spread the deen, obviously, so others can benefit from it. Okay, you don't have this book? Yeah, khalas, you take it to another scholar or something, another student. I always get it back. These are very difficult things to do except for those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens their hearts. But we can work on our clothing. Alhamdulillah, we do have these people who come to collect clothing every month or two. Makes it a bit easier. They give you these black bags. So now go through your wardrobe and see what you do not really need. We need everything when we look at it from the perspective of needing. But really, what do we not need? And start giving away some stuff. And the thing about it is that we normally, when we do give away, it's things that are worn out, things that may have a tear here, maybe it's a little paint has come on it, or maybe it's become soiled and you know you can't get rid of it, maybe it's become a bit tatty, or maybe we haven't worn it for a while. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ You're not going to attain to a high level of piety until you give that which you love. Until you spend of that which you love. Not spend of that which you don't have as much love for. This is a very distinctive feature of the Sahaba. That they would spend of what they loved. So let's all go. We want Jannah. Then let's lessen our baggage. I'm not saying get rid of everything and just have one pair of clothing on your back, as Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu would say. We're not telling us to do that. We're just saying, let's cut it down to the few that we need. Okay, 4 or 5 maybe. Not 10 and 15. It has been reported that the poor among the Muslims will enter the Jannah half a day before the rich. 500 years. That the river of the garden flow, the rivers of the garden flow on its surface without furrows. The rivers of Jannah flow on the surface without furrows. So there's no trench. There's no you can say, a recess in the ground through which the water remains like a stream. It stays contained, but it's just on the land itself. You'd expect that it would spread all over, but no, it stays within its track. So the rivers of the garden flow on its surface without furrows. The height of the people there will be 60 cubits, which is the height of their forefather Adam, alayhi salam. 60 cubits is approximately just less than 30 meters. So about 25 to 30 meters tall. But the roof, very high. First, one level is that big. Some people have done some studies. It's very, it's not very related, but if people live in high roofed buildings, or where they live, or spend their time, they can think in a more lofty way than if you live in confined spaces. Some of the Greek philosophers maybe said that or something. So if you're outside most of the time, going around, right? Sahaba are probably outside as well, right? Most of the time, not confined in a space. Or even the buildings that, you know, the old Greeks and that had were very tall, you know. Wallahu a'lam. But, you know, having a high ceiling is a big thing. As long as it's insulated properly here. Otherwise, you'd pay a huge amount for heating in England. You can't get away with it. I mean, that's why people move to the south of Spain. They move to California. I mean, England. Subhanallah. But there's a blessing in this country, I tell you that. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it even better for the Muslims. But this place is blessed. Out of all of the countries that Muslims have gone to, South Africa is good. It's like a paradise in this world. You want good fruit, you want good weather, everything. But there's major crime. So when you go to a supermarket and you've parked your car outside, when you come back and your car is still there, you will say, Alhamdulillah. Believe me, I used to do that. Because you didn't know if your car was going to stay there when you came back out. It doesn't matter if you've got a 7 Series BMW, they will carry it. Pick it up and take it on something. So the alarm won't go off. But mashallah, such a beautiful country. And I used to say, it would be paradise on this earth if it wasn't for that. But nothing is perfect. But subhanAllah, we're in this country, you know, with, you know, the rain and, you know, and everything. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. But it's the dunya. That's the thing. It's the dunya. It's temporary. It doesn't matter. India was too hot. It was too hot. Imagine it. I went to Thana Bhawan where Hakimul Ummah Maulana Shafi Thanvi was. Khanqa, small kind of recess in the wall. How can you stay there in such heat and worship Allahu Akbar? It's difficult. But that's the norm of people. People get used to it. Yes, so the height of the people there will be 60 cubits, the height of their forefather Adam. That the least among them shall receive 10 times as much as the whole world. There you go. And that it will take him 1,000 years... to see all the gifts and honor that Allah has prepared for him. That's the initial preparation. 1,000 years to see everything. Then he's going to give us more on top. That every tree trunk in the garden is made of gold. And the gates of Jannah are 8. And its degrees are many as the number of verses in the noble Quran. So there's another division, which is based on the number of the ayats of the Quran, 6,000 something. So the more of the Quran you know, the higher you get. Iqra wartaqi, read and start to ascend, and your place is wherever you stop reading. So even if you're not hafiz of the Quran, make an effort to memorize as much as you can. May Allah make us among its people through His grace and generosity. Ameen. We have one section left, which is that after everybody settled in paradise and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them a guarantee that He will never, gives them the assurance that He will never be unhappy with them again. And then after that He'll come back and He will say, do you want anything else? And then He'll give them something else. So there's another discussion inshallah, also the Jannah from a woman's perspective. Because that's very important as well for us to know. Because there are some misunderstandings about what women may get, may not get, and so on. So inshallah we'll discuss that. And that will be, inshallah, then our last part of this series. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us Jannah. May Allah protect us from all of the evil signs that are to come of the Day of Judgment when they appear. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us protection and create our defenses by giving us tawfiq to read Surah Al-Kahf and to fortify our iman and gain taqwa, so that when these things happen, we can see the wrong as the wrong and see the right as the right and follow the right. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the kalima la ilaha illallah on our deathbed. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise us from this world, take us from this world as believers with a feeling of longing to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is very important. The one who has a longing to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will love to meet. Allah has a longing to meet him. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that longing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take our attention away from this world to focus on the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us piety and pure wealth. And the wealth that he's given us, may Allah give us the ability to spend it wisely with piety in the pious way and do many good works with it. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make all of the stages of the hereafter easy and grant us a place in Jannatul Firdaus. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make all of these things a reality. May Allah make all of these things something that we can become convinced about. Grant us yaqeen on these things so that they become easy. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.